Hey, TJ, we need you to lead today's stand-up. Bring us in, TJ.
Okay, I hope this comes with a pay raise. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to today's stand-up. I'm Teej, today's Scrum Master. With us, we've got, as always, KC Wiratori, Eagle Expert Extraordinaire. We've got Prime, Chief Entertainment Officer. And because Trash, who is at Render ATL. Hey, if you see Trash on the internet, you can give him a little shout-out. Say, hey, heard you're doing a cool talk. Tell him something like that. And then in the comments, say, Trash, give the talk on the next stand-up.
True.
We want to hear your good thing, okay? So let him know you want to hear the talk. Anyways, in his place, we've got Vegan Bot, one of these directions. Who knows? Vegan, why don't you say hello?
Okay, oh my gosh,
I didn't hear anything he just said, so his mic's broken now.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to move on. Okay, so what is the topic for today? We're going to talk about Git.
Anyways, we're going to talk about why everyone is wearing a black shirt except for me. Was there some kind of memo that went out before the stand-up that was like, everyone should look like Steve Jobs? Are you all wearing jeans at the same time? Like, what's going on right now?
Okay, so TJ is fully in on the bit.
What the heck is going on here? Is this some kind of Apple, like, memorial thing? What is happening?
You know, we just called TJ a glass hole. That's all we do.
Casey, have you ever worn a turtleneck, though?
Is this the liquid glass right here?
This is the liquid glass. This man's throwing some liquid out. Hey,
okay.
Vegan, we can hear you again. Say hi.
You can, actually?
Yeah.
Saying, Casey, have you worn a turtleneck? Because I'm going to be honest, I gave Teej his first turtleneck.
He gave me this turtleneck.
Because if you don't know, when I travel, I usually carry a couple extra turtlenecks in case my friends need to go out. And so he was like, hey, you want to wear one? And he's now been wearing them ever since, so...
Wow. You feel different. That's why I was like, I'm ready to be the Scrum Master today. This changes everything, Casey. So I feel like throw one on, you can lead the next stand up. You know what I'm saying?
I don't have one. I'm trying to think if I've ever worn a turtleneck.
Did my mom dress
me up in one when I was 3 or something? Like, that's the only thing I can think of.
It's never too late.
Have you read the book series Mistborn?
No, I haven't, and also, you know, I don't watch Elizabeth Holmes's fashion channel or anything, so I don't really know that much about turtleneck wear.
Okay, well, I was only saying that because in the second book, for him to become more kingly, he has to change his dress and accept it, and often people will perceive you different. So TJ immediately has more authority than everybody else, simply by the dint of his clothing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called aura these days, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. If you can see your neck, no aura. If you can't
see
that
true.
Neck, it's the mystery.
Well, don't have a neck. Like, for me, I'm not really a neck haver. So it's pretty difficult to see.
Do you think people would say that when TJ puts this turtleneck on, he has the riz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would that be something that could be said by the youth of today?
Yeah. I don't think you typically put a definite article in front of Riz.
He just has Riz.
He has Riz. There you go.
All right. Anyway, today, for some reason, you guys want to talk about Git, is my understanding.
Yeah.
And we actually pulled the audience for some questions.
Oh,
believe
dear.
It or not. And okay. I have them pulled up. That's why I wanted to run this meeting today, because I've got materials.
Okay.
Not in a slideshow format. They're just in like 37 different tabs.
Okay.
But that's just as good. That's what they tell me. So here
we go.
It's more than a phone. iPhone. You know, that's kind of what I feel like now. Now I've got like slides behind me and everything.
Yeah.
So we were like, we're going to talk about Git. We're going to talk about rebase, merge. I feel like, initially, before we get to the rest of the questions, Prime, hit us with your hot takes about Git rebase versus Git merge. I want everybody to be fuming in the comments by minute 5.
Okay, it's very, very simple. Merge is for kiddies. Rebase is for experts. Next question.
Okay, excellent. Casey, any rebuttal?
My rebuttal is going to be towards the end of this part. So
okay, we'll wait.
I'm going to go ahead and rant after this is done, and that will rebut all of the things that were said.
Excellent. Vegan, any thoughts? Rebase versus merge?
Yeah, I don't have to rebase or merge. I use the friend flag, and it always just goes through. So
yeah.
Straight away.
Yep. Dash F.
Just throw that dash F. Everybody's your friend. They message you always right afterwards.
Yeah. That's
They're
how
like,
you know
Whoa,
it's friendship.
Dude. You literally see him. Whoa! Exclamation mark. Dude! Exclamation mark. What did you push today? Question mark, exclamation. They're hyped. You know what I'm saying? They're like, wow, this is crazy. Well, we're really proud of your progress.
Okay. I force push to every repo I get access to just to make sure they are either protected or they're my friend. You find out.
It's like friend classes in C++.
Yeah.
This makes more sense now.
Developers, are you tired of code reviews that just say looks good to me or here's seven things I need you to change that are irrelevant to the PR? Well, meet CodeRabbit, AI reviews right inside your editor. Starting with VS Code, Cursor, and Windsurf. Sorry, no Vim yet. Hit review and bam. Out comes feedback even before you open a pull request. CodeRabbit can help flag bugs that your vibe coding with your LLM bots missed. And with one easy click, it can send all the context back to your favorite agentic tools for quick fixes line by line. CodeRabbit offers a generous free tier with up to 50 code reviews per day. Grab the extension now at coderabbit.link/primogen-vscode. Links in the description. And ship cleaner code today.
All right, so I've got a few questions here. We'll just go through them, see where we get to. Number one, from our lovely friend Trash. I want to put Trash first because he was there. Why do I reclone the repo after a botched rebase, which I knew would go great after Prime said rebases for experts?
I'm not even sure what he, like, honestly. I know Trash is trying to make a joke is what I think. I actually don't even know what he means by that. How do you botch a rebase?
You never get halfway through and realize you committed the wrong tree. You checked in theirs instead of ours because they're backwards or anything like that?
No.
This is seriously such a... How do you even botch a rebase? That's exactly what you botch. That is what you botch. That is the area where...
Thank you.
Dude, you dash abort if you're in the middle of a rebase and say a conflict happens and you mess up the conflict, you're not in the right place. You do a little dash, you know, abort. That's pretty easy. You can do a little ref log and go back from whence you came. When I say I don't understand what it means to botch a rebase, I literally don't know what it means to botch a rebase. Getting a merge conflict and then not being able to resolve it? Because you're going to get that merge conflict either way. Whether you get merge or you get rebase, that conflict's coming in.
Vegan.
Okay, I want to tell you what it actually looks like. Let's say we got a big old merge conflict. So many changes.
Yeah.
You're going through them all. You're sitting there. You're just, you know, you're DDing out the little lines, you know. That's what I do, okay?
Okay.
You're half paying attention. You got a podcast over here. You're watching a streamer, you know. And then
some
all of
Subway
a sudden,
Surfers.
You did one file really good. You really made sure, pull in those changes. Don't pull in those changes. Ooh, I actually do want that change. The next one, you got a little lazy on. And you messed up, and all of a sudden you go, oh, no, I don't even know what I did. And so you could abort. I don't want to abort. I did three files good. A couple files bad. So now I'm in this botch rebase world. When this happens, sometimes what I'll do is I'll clone the whole repo. I'll save that state as as terrible botch zone. And then I will say, yeah, it's good. And then
I'm with you. I know what's going to happen
abort,
next.
Restart, copy files over from that botched one. It happens, Prime. This is normal idiot behavior.
But I mean, but that happens with merge too. Because merge, you merged. You got the
You're
same...
over-indexing on rebase here, I think.
Yeah, you get the same conflict, and then you do the exact same thing, which is you're doing really great on your first file, and then after that, you totally jack it up, but now you don't have an abort.
I think you're getting over-indexed on the rebase. Trash is just saying, he's just making the joke about recloning, like Beacon is saying. I think you're overthinking
this. Yeah, I know, that's why I said I don't get it, because of the rebase part. Yeah, see, I wasn't trying to be a jerk, Vegan. I'm just saying,
you're doing the thing.
Because it happens with merge or rebase. This is you're focused on the wrong thing. I think Trash is over-indexing on the rebase.
You're focused on the wrong thing. You're doing the thing of why would you need a debugger? Don't write bugs.
No. That is not true. What's happening here is Trash is trying to make a joke, and he knows people hate rebase and will be the most likely to agree with him. So he puts the word rebase after something that doesn't make to teach. Do not like that tweet. Teach. Stop it. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
All right, next question. What's the best way to deal with merge trains? When you've, you know, he's saying you have one piece of work, you break it into a series of nice, neat little tasks. Each are individually QA'd and reviewed, but they are depending on each other. Is Git good for this? Casey.
Why are you asking me?
Because I know, you work with people. Because
I
know. Casey.
I just want you to keep saying, "I'll rebut this at the end." I mean, do you have any opinions?
You have to. Yeah, my opinion is that this discussion is why all this stuff is so freaking ridiculous. Like the fact, like your job is to program a computer. You're supposed to be spending your mental energy figuring out how to make good programs, right? And instead, like 25% of every programmer's brain now is occupied with things like, should I merge or rebase? That even the fact that that is something that is now a discussion means this was a failure. Source code control should be invisible, right? It should guide the correct process so that no one thinks about it. It just tells you what you need to do whatever it is that you're going to do. I'm just supposed to program. That's what I'm supposed to do. And then if there's a conflict, it should be like, okay, here's the thing. We send the correct emails. We get the, you know, schedule the meeting, whatever has to happen. That source control is supposed to facilitate programming. But instead, programmers are facilitating source code control. It's completely backwards, right? And so this needs work. People should be fixing this instead of spending all their time arguing about whether you're going to rebase or merge or what exactly you're supposed to be doing for large files. Like, oh, do you guys use the virtual file system thing that they did? Or do you use this other plugin? How many? It's like, no, this stuff should have been solved. No one should be having a discussion, right?
So Perforce got it right?
Well, Perforce is its own kind of pile. I would, like, Perforce has serious problems with large repos as well, like, very bad. And so Perforce has some benefits, I guess you could say. But in general, like, the thing that I wish people focused on was that source code control is not solved. Like it is not a solved problem, not even close, right? It's like, we need people to be pushing this stuff forward, because anything you look at is pretty bad when you look at what the optimal flow would be for people versus how much they're actually doing, right?
So what is the ideal source control then? Because honestly, like, in all reality, I neither think about merge nor rebase. I just operate in the way that I'm used to.
Yeah, we know.
And that's it. And I just pull, push, that's it. And so I've never really thought much of I spend very little headroom to this stuff because I already learned it. So what does a transparent source control look like?
Well, like, the what we use here is one where literally I just type done at the end of the day. And it just sucks up everyone's work that they've done, and it, like, remembers the states of things, and that's it. And if two people have done something at the same time, it just overlays those two things. It actually just provides you copies of both and lets you know so that you can then go in and resolve those at your leisure or not, right? And that's just optimal for small teams because, you know, if you have hundreds of thousands of people, then you're not going to want to do something similar to that, right? But there's no benefit to something like Git for us because it's just a tremendous amount of complexity for no actual benefit, right? And you can add to that the fact that for a very long time, something like Git wouldn't have even been an option for people like us because we have very, very large repositories, right?
Yeah.
Even though we're small teams, when you work on art, you know, we've got many, many terabytes in our central server, right? And that's just completely out of the question for Git until more recently when they, you know, when they decided that that was something that people were going to actually handle. So in terms of the optimal source code control, the optimal source code control system, A, would just be something like what we use would be a setting you could pick. So you just, like, pick, like, we're a small team, so everything should just be completely transparent because we don't need any of, you know, any of the complexity stuff that a large organization would need. Everyone should basically not even have to touch source code control, especially artists. It should just kind of work, right? They just do their work and, you know, it gets sucked into a central, you know, versioning system for them and they really don't have to think about it, right? And for programmers, it should just overlay the files. Just say, okay, someone else did these changes at the same time. You can resolve them at your leisure or not. It's up to you. But I'm not going to bother you about it until, you know, you actually say you want to do something. And that latter point is actually pretty important to me. So this happens even to my own self. So if I have two different machines, let's say I'm developing on one machine and on another machine, and I make some changes that both affect the same file, right? I don't want it to tell me I can't check in. That's absurd. Like, I don't want to create another branch. I don't want to have to do anything. I made these two changes. When I type done, I want you to back up what I'm doing. And I want that to be available on both machines. And I'll deal with it when I deal with it, okay? Don't stop my programming because you think your repository has to be in some pristine state. I know what I'm doing. So just go away, right? So what I like is one where it's just like, I deal with stuff when I want to deal with it, not when the source code flows, and I don't have to do anything to make that happen. I don't have to create branches or create different versions of things or any of that sort of stuff. It just works. My experience with Git, and the reason that I don't like it very much, is whenever I've tried to do even simple stuff with it, like pair program with somebody using Git, simple stuff like that, where it's just like, oh, I just want both files. I just want to back up this thing. It's like, nope. All of a sudden, you got to learn more Git stuff. Did you want to create a fork? Did you want to do this? Do you want to do that? What's your solution to this problem? I don't want to solve the problem, right? I just want you to back up my files and have everyone have access to those files easily. When you're talking about a small number of people, none of these things are problems, right? We're not worried about, oh, we're going to break some thousand-person org because somebody checked in like a slightly wrong file or something like that, right? So anyway... So Git to me is like, it's not uniquely bad. I don't hate Git specifically. I just hate that we're still in this world where people can even have these discussions or all this stuff, or that if someone like me wants to use this at our company, forget it. It would slow us down massively to switch to something like Git because it just adds all this process and all this knowledge people have to have for no reason at all, especially artists, right, who they should never have to think about source control even existing because it's not really in their – they're not necessarily technical people. It's not really in their worldview. So that's my opinion on this, and this is why I don't care at all about merge or rebase, because I think as soon as you have to ask the question, or even have two things, one called merge and one rebase, you failed. There's my rant. That's it. I got nothing else to say.
I have so many questions right now.
Okay.
Ask them. Okay. Go for it.
Okay. So hold on. So you have your own custom CMS or a VCS, not CMS, maybe even CMS too. You have your own custom version control.
Mm-hmm.
That you just type done,
yep,
and it puts your files up onto some sort of central repository.
Yep.
And any other developers, it also puts their clones up. And then everything that's not conflicted goes into like the super central repository that's like, this is the golden standard now. But anything where there's multiple edits, you actually have like these two files. And then until you need to re-edit it, it doesn't choose it. Like how do people stay in sync with like, say, your changes and my changes? I'm just curious because like TJ – you know, when we were working on Mordorio, it was really just like push pull, right? We're like not, we're just staying in sync, and we're not really like there's no actual Git to it. We're just, you know, the messages were crap. It's not like nothing about it was was trying to be professional.
And to be fair, the only time that we had to deal with conflicts would be like when I chose to pull in your changes, right? So like until then, I was never experiencing oh, Prime edited this file, so I can't do it. So then it was fine.
Yeah. So basically, what it does is it just goes, okay, if two people have both made changes to the same file, they each keep their version of their file, and they also get a thing labeled alternate version in the same directory of – it's the same as a normal merge – of whatever the other file would be. The only difference between this source code control system and a normal source code control system is that's not a failure state. It's just like, we're going to let that ride. You guys will work it out.
So can you make edits? If there is an alternate version, does it freeze you from making edits?
Nope. You can just go.
Just keep adding .alternate?
It will just track as many versions in place as you want until you guys have decided that you have collapsed them like properly and you deleted those alternate versions, and then it will assume that you figured it out yourself. Because again, on a small team, that's what happens. Normally, nobody should ever, and even this is true for a single programmer as well, right? Normally, I'm not making changes to the same thing on two different machines, right? But sometimes I am. And in those cases, I just don't care. I don't want source code control involved. I'll deal with it myself. I just want source code control to preserve those things as long as it needs to for me to get around to solving that problem. Or someone else, if it's someone else's problem, I suppose. But that's what I prefer, right? I don't want source code control to lock everything up and say, okay, nobody can, you can't do anything anymore. You can't even back up your own files unless you create like a separate branch or something like this. I don't want that. I want to be able to just ride through this, especially like maybe those changes aren't that integral. Maybe there was like something, you know, this other person was doing that's not that important. That's just going to ride in that side channel for a little while, and I'll pull it back in when I'm ready, right? I don't want source code control to insert a bubble into the process. There's no need for it. And I can understand why giant orgs, you know, like I said, 1,000 people, you couldn't do exactly this. Although I think if I had to solve this problem at a larger scale, I bet I could do it better. Like, I could use this concept and make something that would work better than the, like, let's just stop everything from happening version. But I don't care because I don't work in 1,000-person orgs. But for a single person, 2 people, 4 people, it's way better to just let it ride, in my opinion. Just let it ride. Don't have source code control in the way. Just don't have source code. Don't have it be a thing, right?
No, it's great. Casey, I think we have all the exact same opinions. Like, we should not be, as programmers, worrying about source control. That's why, obviously, AI is going to take care of it for us. I'm glad we're on the same page.
That's right.
You can commit, like, large things to repos. People get mad at me because I like to commit, like, 300 MP3s to a GitHub repo.
Yep.
And then GitHub says, don't do that.
Yeah.
We should be able to do that.
Of course you should.
Holding us back.
Of course you should.
And yeah, just save every single version of everything we've ever done.
Yes.
Never, ever. Yes, okay.
That reminds me of the, like, it was either from Microsoft or from Dell when they were tweeting, like, oh man, my computer's so slow. And then it was like, oh yeah, and you have like 12 tabs open and Discord and something else. And they're like, why would you expect it to go fast?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, that's stupid. Computers are fast enough to handle that. I do think it is kind of crazy that, at least for a long time, I think it's better now, but like, we really can't just commit big files. Why does that have to be a big deal? Or like that we can't commit like actual assets into the repo. That seems crazy there. So I don't know. I like branching and like having branches and other stuff like that, even at much smaller than 1,000 people. Like even at like 10, I would definitely want something akin to like what Git has. But
full
I think
screen,
Git.
TJ.
What? Oh yeah, I can go full screen, sure.
Make yourself beautiful.
We're gonna go back to this later, but that's okay. Here. Oh, this is just me. Oh yeah, there you go. Big me. But I feel like Casey, in an alternate world where Git has like sane defaults, like commands that only do one thing.
Right.
Like checkout isn't like 8 different things, right?
Yeah.
And like you're presented with, like, not silently pulling changes that you didn't know someone else made that suddenly... Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in this alternate universe where I agree with you, it feels like a lot of people are saying, well, we have Git, so version control is solved. And you're like, just because you have a command line thing that can do something doesn't mean that we've reached the pinnacle of that thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we can still maybe make it better. And yes, I know, chat, everyone's like, just use Jujitsu. Okay. We'll test it out later, okay? And we can get back to you about it, all right? Just relax. We know about JJ. Just relax, okay? But in that universe, Casey, like in this mystical world, whether that one exists or not, would you feel differently about version control?
I mean, I've said what my thing is that I want, which is I don't ever want to think about source code control, ever, right? If at the end of the day, I ever type something in because I'm like, I want my version control to save the work I've done or something, and anything happens other than I leave, right, then source code control has failed, right? Like, I should just be able to type done, hit return, and that's it. And if there's any more work to be done, I just come back in the next day and I start working on that thing. It should not be like, oh, I have to worry now about doing something else to back up my files, right? Or to save what I've done. And a lot of times source code control, you do. Like if you tried to push your changes or something like this, right? So that they're available for other people, because that's another thing. It's not just backing up. It's like other people may want to access these files. If I want to push my changes, but there's a conflict, it's like, you really can't do anything other than say like, okay, provide those as like a, you know, provide a different branch or other. Like, no, I shouldn't have to think about any of that. I should just type done and I leave. And if there was some problem with that, the source code control should just present that state to the other users of the system so that if they want to grab those files, they can, or if they don't want to, they can. When I come back in the next day, I will, you know, it will let me know about that. That's what source code control should be. It should be helping me, right? It should not be forcing me to think about what I am going to have to do to make the thing I wanted to have happen, which is back up the files and make them available to people, happen, right? That should just be automatic always, and to the extent that I ever need to interact with the source code control system, it should be perfectly prompted. So it should come back to me and go like, the next morning when I come back in there, it's like, oh, hey, yeah, you two made these changes and they're in conflict. What do you want to do about that? Nothing right now should be another option, right? But everything should still be available to people and they should be able to see those things. I want it to handle the problems for me. But what I see with Git 100%, but this is true of other source code control as well, so I'm not blaming Git specifically, is that it always makes it my problem, right? It's always my problem to figure out how to put the source code control in the state that's most effective for whatever the situation is. It should be doing that for me, right? And 99% of the time, it should be able to do that because most of the things are not complicated. Like, they're not really ridiculous things, right? And usually what you see... And the reason this stuff does get complicated is because the source code control is bubbling up its internal behavior to you. Like, it's forcing you to actually care about how it's actually storing things and how it's actually conceiving of things, but I don't care. I just want the state of my machine to be replicable to any other machine. I want my machine's stuff to be stored over time. I want to be able to get the what's on anyone else's machine. I want to have any two people who change at the same time be available to me at the same time. I want all that stuff to be just smooth, and I never want to have to think about telling the internals of some source code control system what to do to make that happen. Does
can
that
I,
make sense?
Can I? Okay, so does this – what you're really trying to say is that you don't want to have to create branches, right? Because isn't that what you're saying is that your version is – if you're kind of like on your own branch that anyone can look at.
Right.
But it's almost like all branches exist simultaneously.
Correct.
In your solution.
Yes.
Where it's like a quantum position. You can observe.
Yes.
One branch.
Yes.
Experience it. But then if there's two branches in conflict, you can choose which side you want. And then you have – at some point, somebody has to resolve it, right? If there is an actual conflict, which conflicts aren't, you know, too often – nonetheless, at some point when a conflict happens, you then have to resolve the two sets and say, okay, we're going to remove these two like competing things and turn it into one change, and then this will now make the branches effectively coexist in the same position.
Well, and again, it's not like – I'm not asking for anything new, right? Because source code control – like Git can already do all of the – it can do all of the things that I'm talking about can be done.
Right.
With something like Git, it has the – I mean, with the exception of the fact that their large file handling always was very bad. So, you know, maybe – I haven't ever tried the sort of new solutions that they've put in the past 5-10 years to try and get it up to speed with that. So – but putting that aside, let's just say we're not talking about large files for right now. Git has the ability to do most of the things that you want here. So it's not like I'm asking for something. What I'm talking about is the appearance to the end user, right? I mean, I'm almost in a very un-me way. I'm sort of almost saying, like, you need the Steve Jobs of source code control someday to, like, come in and go, this just does what you want, right? For 99% of all the people, this does what you want without you needing to know anything, right? You don't have to learn some weird stuff to, like, use your source code control. It just does it automatically with you never knowing anything, right? And any time that there's actually an action you need to take, it's clearly prompted to you, and it's really trivial for you to interact with, right? That's what I'm talking about. And you could build that on top of Git, although, you know, it gets jankier when you do stuff like that. But you could do it because Git supports the fundamental operations that you would need, right?
Did someone say Steve Jobs?
There you go.
Oh, go ahead, Beacon.
Can I provide a counter take? Yeah. I'm here to provide, like, the idiot perspective, as always, here. It's like... I hear Casey saying, like, we don't want to have to think about this problem. I don't want to be the one who has to think about how we merge stuff and, like, my VCS should just do it for me. Every vibe coder I'm talking to, they're, like, having a great time vibe coding, and then they have problems when they lose their code due to various vibe code reasons. The thing I end up warning everyone is you have to learn Git. It's a painful part of coding life, but just like I don't want to talk to HR, but HR wants to talk to me every day. It's just part
they love
of
how,
like,
jokes,
working
dude.
With other people.
They love your jokes.
They love my jokes. So
they always
I don't
want to hear
them
again.
Day. But if I kill it in a meeting, they invite me in every single time. So I for me personally, I do feel like version control is a place that it's supposed to be a problem because it's where code meets humans, which is terrible. If it was all code or all humans, maybe we could get through it. But that it's going to be hard. And I want to tell everyone, hey, vibe coders, this is going to be hard and painful. And don't wish for something that's going to be better because this is the hard part of coding. Which we can get around through two easy ways. Number one, you make software with no other people. We're able to fix this problem. Just don't do any other people. And the other way is just we don't have to ship code either. I mean, I can just, you know, we can all be branching and just. So it's like if the more people we work with, the faster we have to ship, the more of this problem we have to deal with. And I just don't think, I mean, I think AI is going to obviously fix all of it very, very soon. And if anyone wants to sponsor the podcast, we'll tell anyone that they're going to fix it. I don't care what it is. No, but like, there's things that could be helped, but this is always going to be painful, is my theory.
I would say, I think too, like Casey, you're saying Git can already, it already has all of the features you would desire in an ideal version control system, in the sense that it can do all of them.
I don't want to be too stringent about that because I don't use it. So like maybe that's not entirely true, but I'm just saying I know.
Everything you've said so far, definitely.
He said something that doesn't exist. You cannot have a multi-branch universe in the sense that I can't check out a project that has everybody's distinct changes and then only in the conflicting world choose which person's side do I want to look at. You always have to merge.
Everyone could just have their own branch.
But it could simulate. You could simulate that using Git's branching features.
I don't think you can. You can't do that because if you have a set of changes that is different from like the core NSYNC one, and TJ has a different set of things, I either have to look at only TJ's changes or only your changes. I can't look at all the changes except for the conflicting parts in which I have to choose which one. Like that does not exist in Git. This kind of like. Quantum branching, as I don't know what else to call it. Like you can't view everyone's changes except for the.
It's funny to call it quantum branching because in my VCS it's called a superposition. So it tracks superpositions, just saying like here's how many superpositions there are for this file. Like there's n of them, right?
Yeah, I totally get this. It's a cool idea. It's a super cool idea.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I guess, but it's not complicated, right? It's just a simple. Because fundamentally, that's all a source code control system is doing, is it's saying, okay, I'm keeping multiple versions of things. And so to me, I'm just like, why not also do that in time, in addition to time, do it in space as well, right? It's saying, like, at this particular time, I can have multiple versions of a file as well, instead of just having it only backwards in time that I have multiple versions of a file. And again, like, maybe Git can't do some of those things, but I'm sure it's not that hard to imagine extending Git to do them, right? Like the idea of hash-based file stuff, it's like it could do this, right? It's not like it would be like, oh my god, we have no idea how we could ever extend it. But I would say
even though like with 100 people, you can't do it in a practical way anyways without somebody doing something inside of it. Like, don't you think, Casey? Like even like your system wouldn't scale even probably like at 100 devs working in like a medium-sized code base because there's going to be too many overlapping changes like all the time.
Yeah,
right?
You'd have to do too many selections of the superposition at that point.
Well, I guess I don't know because if you think about it, so again, if I then went to a 100-person team and I watched how they worked, I would probably have, I'd be like, okay, here's how we're going to do it because it almost certainly wouldn't be what is happening with Git, right? So I can't tell you exactly what I would say you would do, but it's not going to be Git. I can tell you that. And I suspect the superposition concept would scale. And the reason for that is that you might change a little bit about how it's working. But the idea that you can... you already are saying that you're having multiple people who might do overlapping changes. So by definition, you do have superpositions that exist. They're just existing only on one person's machine because the other person can't see that change yet, right? And you're forcing one person to merge, and you're forcing them based on who happened to hit the push first, right? It's like somebody tries to push to the main repository first, so that person gets to push their changes. The other person tries to push. They're like, you've got to merge now. You've got to pull first, right? And again, so to me, that's totally broken. I'm like, why? What if it was way easier to merge these changes in a different order, right? Why is my source code control deciding that the way this is going to work is whoever happened to type push first on their machine, that's the order that we're going to have our company resolve these changes? Like, what? So I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have the exact same model as I have when you have just a small team where everyone's talking to each other every day and most of the people are doing art anyway, so it's you don't even really have as much problem with these kinds of things. But it wouldn't be Git, right? I would still have something that would probably have something to do with superpositions. It would have a little bit more rigor to it because I know that the people aren't in constant communication with each other, but it would not look like Git still. I can guarantee you that. It's just until I went and actually solved that problem, I couldn't tell exactly what it looks like, right?
But I would say, like, at least in my experience, like, generally speaking, I only have to deal with merges when I'm deciding to put it into the same main branch. Like, in general, every place I've worked at, like, we use... Which, this is not to say Git the way it's structured and the way that it's actually implemented makes this easy or good to do, sure. right, necessarily, right? But, like, we would just have separate branches for each of the things that we're working on. You could do stuff like get work trees that can make it easy to work on those same things at the same time on your own system and, like, not have to wipe all the changes and even leave it uncommitted, like, in everything, right? And I can always push freely because I'm the only one pushing to that remote branch. So, like, the only time yeah. I...
But you had to know all that, right? This is my
yes, yeah, yeah.
This,
so
is,
that
this
saying,
is my rant,
yes.
right?
Yes.
My rant
okay,
is
so then,
you had to do
right.
that, right? And yes. and this is why I assume, and maybe this is naive, but my assumption yep. is that most places that use Git eventually like customize it like you just said, where they're like, okay, here's how we decided we're gonna set up all of our stuff, right? This many repositories in this order with this kinds of commands that we use, and maybe some scripts that do something for us or whatever else. They have all this stuff, and then it does work for them, right? Or at least it works well enough for them, like ours works well enough for us, right? But my point is that shouldn't be institutional knowledge, right? These most things can be solved, I think, pretty directly. And that, like, you want something that just works off the shelf so that people don't have to learn any of this stuff. When they go to a company, they know they just type one thing in and it presents them with whatever they needed to do, if anything, right? And I that's why I get so frustrated with source code control. It's like, it just shouldn't be a thing, right? and I don't know, maybe that's thinking that there's, maybe that's wishful thinking. Like, it's like, it's too pie in the sky, right? Like, maybe I'm just asking for something that could never be or something, but it feels achievable. And the one we did works great for us. So I'm like, I feel like you could start to think about this harder and just start generalizing more and going like, what do teams generally want? Like, what is the thing we generally need? And is there sort of a more 99% case solution that's way better out of the box than Git, right? And again, there's still going to be edge cases, and there's still going to be people who would prefer Git because they've got some really special thing they're doing with it, and that's fine. But I think the majority of cases, it's just way more complicated than it needs to be and requires institutional knowledge to get it into a well-working state.
Egan?
Yeah,
what
are
you going to say?
Well, first of all, you know, to describe Git, breaking it down, we're using quantum mechanics, analogies. Like, we're like, Git is too complicated. Guys, quantum mechanics, here's how we can explain it. That's scary, number one. Number two, I think, to reiterate what I was saying earlier, I think thinking about Conway's Law and how it relates to Git can like help a lot of this conversation, because it's always about how the humans interact with the code. So if there's two people, two engineers, and they're working in a similar code place and they're sick of working with merge conflicts, you know what they do? They split the code up. They do it themselves. Like the code splits up naturally based off these, all this tension and who wants to work with who and what's going on. That's why organizations match the engineers. It's like, but you can't like from on high say, everyone make the perfect best code. It's going to go, dude, Teach is taking forever on the logging thing. I'm so annoyed with it. I'm splitting out the service and doing it on my own. And then boom, now there's two different files. It's like you never can prescribe what path engineers are going to go, because we're all going to just go like, I'm annoyed, I'm lazy. Boom, split the file here, do this here. No conflicts there. So humans make everything so messy. And I just think we're never going to replace humans. AI is never going to replace our jobs, ever. Okay, so
Casey, the only problem I see with the idealist approach you have, which A, you still have to learn something, right? You still have to know that you have to commit, you have to say something to commit what you've done, so other people can see it, and that you have to know at some point there's a divergence point. But like, you know, if Beacon says, "Hey, TJ's taking too long, I'm going to create my own service," bada bing, bada boom. Pulls out part of whatever TJ's working into his own little universe and starts going. Well, now we've kind of come into this point where if Beacon commits this, it's almost like you want TJ to be forced to act on that. Not that it's just like, oh, we can have two different versions. It's because like now there's such a drift in it that it's like it's a for like you really do want TJ to know that this big thing has happened, or else he's going to develop off that, and then that conflict becomes a way bigger deal in the future. Because it wasn't taken, like, it wasn't kind of, like, forced upon TJ in its early conception. And that's the only thing I worry about is the superposition. I mean, I love the idea of just being able to view the repository as a series of changes from everybody. But, you know, larger organizations, obviously, you're going to have to choose, like, 10 superpositions across all of them. Maybe you can do it automatically because you don't care about those other ones. You only care about your kind of silo. But at the end of the day, it just seems like drift can be such a killer in this.
Well, like I said, I think I would want to actually go design source code control for a large team first before I'd have like a strong opinion either way. Because, for example, the superposition thing, because you come up with solutions to problems when you look at what's actually going on, right? And this is why I don't like Git or use Git, is because it doesn't solve the problems we actually have. So, like, let's say, you know, to take an example of Drift in the art side of things, it's like usually they just have files that have artwork in them, right? And if two people edit the same file, then all an artist wants is to know that there's files on their machine that have the work that they did and what other people did. And if they open up a file and it doesn't have the right drawing in it, they just want another file that's next to that file that does, so they can go get it, grab it, and put the thing into where it needs to be, right?
By the way, I don't think art is good. Like, I don't think Git matches how art changes, just to be clear. I think that
exactly.
Git's a very code-oriented source control
sure.
approach.
But mm-hmm. my point is that's basically the same for, at least for me, for when you're talking about relatively small numbers of people developing a code base. It's like, look, the way the superposition thing works, just to be clear, is your machine always has your changes as the primary change. The superpositions are the ones that come in from other people's machines that would have overwritten one of your changes, right? On the other person's machine, they have their change as the primary one, and your changes are the ones that look like superpositions to them, right? And that's just what works most efficiently, even for me against me. So when I'm doing like changes on two different machines because I just haven't sunk those machines in a while for whatever reason, that's just way, way better than telling me I have to merge something because I don't want to merge it right now. Right? So what you're calling Drift as a bad thing in a large org is a great thing in a small org because I don't want to do the thing you're calling Drift. I don't want to deal with that right now, right? So I just let it sit there and it's fine. And the same is true with the art side too. It's like if they don't want to have to deal with the like merging those two pieces of artwork, they just leave them and then they clean them up later, right? And this is just like, again, it's what you see people actually wanting to do. Like what is the actual thing that people want day to day? And only programmers want source code in their face, it seems like, right? They're the only people who for some reason think this is good and I want to interact with it a lot, right? Nobody else ever wants to even hear that it exists.
I'll say the distinction though I would say is like everybody uses like Google Docs now, right? Like nobody edits like documents offline by themselves, except maybe like even my grandpa, he uses Sheets now instead of Excel.
Okay.
Like literally, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think the reason is because other like industries or professions, a lot of their stuff, like if you're writing or doing other things, it can work like independent of a bunch of other parts of the system, right? Like I'm in the middle of like drafting a contract or I'm in the middle of like making a bunch of art, like having one half-finished art piece doesn't make it so that I can't compile my booklet of art. I don't know what, a magazine. That's a booklet of art.
Yep. True.
I've heard words before. But like for programmers, right, it's like if I have someone else's half-done thing, I might literally not be able to run anything, right? And like that's kind of like a feature in a lot of ways, like I don't actually want the code to be able to run with half broken, like code, right? Like someone just literally wrote half of a C file. Okay, well, that's good. I don't want to edit it live in time. But so like I'm saying, so it is kind of different because like other professions, it's like, oh, well, we can all just iterate on the doc together. We'll work on the slides at the same time. We'll do all this. There is no like merging them in together as opposed to programmers where we have to like force all of these things back into one spot. So I think it's like very different. Like in kind, not just because programmers like to make, castles of abstraction, which is true, but like also we have a different problem set than like most other like industries.
Well, sometimes we do, but a lot of times we don't, right? Like if you happen to be making changes to some kind of like centralized API or something, then I agree that you may have to take all the changes at once because, you know, you changed how some API worked and you had to change like all the places that call that API, right?
Yeah.
But 99% of the time, especially on a small team, when you don't have enough people making changes to enough things to have a high likelihood of collision, a lot of times, no, it's fine, right? If you actually had something where two changes conflicted on your machine, either you don't need to actually do that merge just yet, or it's very trivial for you to do it. So you have the superposition right there. And if you have a compiler, you're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll deal with the superposition now. So it just ends up being the same as a merge anyway, because you can always just choose to merge those two files at that time if that's what you wanted to do, but you're not being forced to do it. So the difference is just that Git makes you deal with it immediately, whether it needed to be dealt with immediately or not, whereas the superposition version is just like, okay, you deal with it when you think you need to, and if you don't need to right now, then don't. And that's just better as far as I'm concerned, because like, why would I want to force someone to deal with something that they don't actually need to deal with yet, right? It's not like they're not aware of it. You know, they see the superpositions there. They're like, okay, I know some people made these changes. I could choose to merge right now if that's what I want to do. But it's like, you know, and plus merge now is just something that is very obvious to them. They didn't have to ask to merge. They just see the two files and they can cut and paste whatever they want from them. Even if you never taught someone what a merge was, they could just do it because they know how to do that with files. So I don't even have to teach them like, oh, you're going to have to type git merge or something, right? Or whatever's going to happen, you know?
Okay, there's two quick. Oh, sorry. Go, Began. You haven't.
Okay, I was gonna say I'm a little confused, Casey, because maybe you're not developing how I develop. Because the moment I write any code,
he's definitely not. Yeah, I already know for sure.
It's identical. The moment I write any piece of code, I write up a log statement. I immediately surround it in a feature flag. I get that merged in right away. It's in production. I make sure I can flip it on and off.
Yep.
And then I keep developing. And so I'm merging. I'm deploying to prod probably every 10, 15 minutes, whatever I'm changing. And if anything breaks, feature flag.
Is that
flag.
How long
and
it takes you to add a log statement?
Well, the Docker build is slow. So
okay.
TJ, he's not using Copilot. He's still manually writing slog statements.
I'm manually
takes a
writing
time.
The console.
What you meant is you asked the AI to, you asked Claude to add the log statement for you. And seven iterations
and
later
flag.
It did. Yeah.
All right, so
you don't have to if you're always deploying, you're always synced up. You don't have to worry. You it's annoying, obviously, because you have to deal with these problems all the time. But anytime I want to try any one of my features, we can do canary deployments. That's how Facebook works. Zuck taught me this technique. So,
wow, that's really cool, Began. But damn, that's
there's
crazy.
Someone out there in the chat that is doing this process though. There's
I have
be
to do it at Netflix
person.
All the time. Everything had to be driven through feature flag. So it's like every single thing I've ever done always had a feature flag first, and then I turn it on just for me, and then blah 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 blah. All right, so two things. One, Casey used the word sunk to say that you had to sync two computers. I haven't sunk yet. I don't know.
Love
if slink,
that.
I don't think slink slang slunk works in this case. I still think it's actually just sync.
I love saying sunk.
I know. I just don't think it's. I don't think it's real.
And I like saying Mac OS. There are so many things I like to say that you don't like. I can't remember what there was. One
Mac
other
OS
one too.
Is fine. I loved it. That's the fresh maker. Okay. I was on your team with that. That's TJ that didn't like.
What
it.
What was the other one? I had some other pronunciation. I can't remember what it was. Anyway.
No, I'm the one that calls it Jippity. Not even ChatGPT. It's Jippity. Right. So right. I'm way off. Weasel instead of WSL. I call it Weasel because it fits both Microsoft and it's kind of correct if you disinvol it.
Oh, so, do you call it like a CPU and a GPU as well?
Dude, nobody loves
that. No, but we're going to.
I'm about to.
Okay. It's like we got to program this GPU to do some AI computations.
Some A computations. Okay, I do like some CPU. Okay, but the second thing is that I've completely forgot what I was going to say. I actually had a really important point, now I can't remember. Oh.
All right, well, while you're thinking of that, Prime, I've got a few other questions I really want to hit. We spent 40 minutes talking about this one, but not really talking about it. So I've got a few other ones.
I actually like this. Oh. That he has, like, why can't this just be, like, what should version control be as opposed to Git? It's just, like, I don't think Git's that great either, and I'm totally on your team, but, you know, we don't have to be, like, what – let's answer questions about Git. This is more, like, theoretically – is Git even good?
And again, to be clear, I don't really want to – like, this was about Git because that's what the episode was titled, but I don't have any specific distaste for Git, right? I don't like version control in general. I think it is too onerous and puts too much, like, emphasis on itself. I just want, like – I want the modern versioned file system thing that's just, like – way less in your face and way less something that I think about and is only there when something goes really wrong, right? It's like, it's sort of the thing, it's like the safety net for me, right, is the way I think about these things. And so a lot of ECSs, and it's not like it's just Git, aren't that. They're in your face all the time, right? And I also, so I do think there's also this sort of thing, Prime,
That by the way, chat's completely misunderstanding you. Casey's not saying he doesn't want to do like .back files. He wants to develop and things to be in sync. Okay, this is not Final Version V3. You're saying you want it there, but you want it to be transparent, as if we're all editing the same hard drive in some ethereal sense until you say commit.
I want the magic server, right?
Yeah.
It's like the magic server. And I feel like we could get there because like the little amount of work, I didn't spend very long making, like, our VCS is still crappy, right? It's like it's not some amazing thing that I spent 7 years on in my PhD dissertation or whatever, right?
Don't worry, Git was only 4 days or 5 days. So everything's a piece of crap, so it's okay.
Yes, it was a piece of crap. But I like it way better than any source code control I've ever used. To me, that kind of suggests that if I was going to go do, like, let me spend a year making source code control things to see what I end up really wanting and what's the perfect thing, I bet I could get pretty far, right? And it sure wouldn't look like Git, I can guarantee you that. But again, that's not a knock on Git specifically. That's kind of broadly, it wouldn't look like Subversion either, probably, right? Or, you know, whatever your favorite source code control is. Perforce, I think, was mentioned before.
I had to use Perforce for a while, so that's why
I did too, actually. At RAD, we used Perforce. So I used CVS originally because that was the only thing that existed way back in the day. And that thing is a real pile. Like, Git, you know, CVS makes Git looks like a holy, it's amazing, like, you know, compared to CVS. CVS was awful, right?
I hate the pharmacy. I'm a big Walgreens guy, so
yes,
I get
sir.
It.
But yeah, so anyway, so nothing against Git specifically, just VCS in general, I feel like, has a long way to go.
All right, so Casey, I got a question, okay? Mm-hmm. So you built your own VCS, nice custom for your cool work.
Yeah, in quotes.
Let's imagine someone new joins to work a company you're working at.
Mm-hmm.
How could they convince you, hi, I'm new employee of your company,
okay.
Hey, you're already using Git. Git, it's not good enough. I'm going to write my own. Give me a week. I know I just started on the job. I'm going to build my own version control system, and we're going to use that instead. What would it take for me to convince you to allow me to do that if we were working a job together?
I'm not sure I totally get the hypothetical. You're saying you're coming to the company, and you want to write...
Let's pretend you're using Git already.
I'm using
Git. You're using Git. You're at a company where you're using Git. And I come in and I say, hey, listen, okay. Git, I don't know if it's going to work. I think we can do something better if I wrote my own. Give me a week and I'm going to rewrite to our own version control. How would you be able to? Who could convince you to be able to do that?
Effectively, he's asking, how did you do what you did?
Yes, exactly. How did you get it done?
Well, just because I'm in charge, so I can do whatever the hell I want, right? I mean, but the point is
Vegan,
that
don't
I
don't even think about it.
I also don't think that's wise, right? In other words, I'm not suggesting, like, what I would prefer is that we took this seriously as a project, meaning it's like we're going to go off and we're going to actually seriously develop a tool to do source code control in a better way, right? But of course, you know, I also understand why it doesn't happen, because people don't pay for development tools, right? So really the only way you could do this was as a SaaS, right? The thing that I'm conceiving of, there's no way you'd ever get funding to do it or to it would never really happen in the commercial world without it being a service, right? So what you'd really end up with is something where you pay a monthly fee and then our company makes all of this magic for you, right? And every source code just works for you, you know, control just works for you, right? Which, again, I would love if someone did that, right? I don't know that we would bother because, like, we have something that already works for us. But if you're talking about trying to solve these harder problems, you want to scale up to 100-person, 1,000-person, 10,000-person orgs. You want, you know, there to be some more flexibility to the workflow. So it's not just, hey, what's the workflow at Casey's company is the one that this works great for and doesn't work for anybody else's, right? My point is just, I'm just saying why we don't use one and why I don't like using Git and wouldn't use it. Because it was very simple for me to make something that I prefer, like quite a bit prefer, and for a bunch of other reasons too that we haven't covered, but they're sort of minor things.
I'm just trying to say, there's a junior dev out there, it was me 10 years ago, who would have said, I listened to Casey on a podcast, he wrote his own version control, can I write my own version control, boss? And they would say, HR.
You're fired.
It would be another HR meeting.
You're fired.
But I mean, to be fair, all the people that are listening that have never dealt with large assets don't understand that before Git large file system came about, it was a huge pain. And even still then, if you're on GitHub, there's a whole series of issues when you're trying to do large files still. It's not
GitHub
like
is just bad for a bunch of stuff. You can't even have a big diff.
I know.
But you can't even have a bunch of text on the screen. They'll be like, we're not going to show you that by default. Or like Began had a long-running PR against one of my projects and rewrote the entire thing. But it literally said infinity. It said files changed infinity. Like, it put the infinity sign and said, whoops, our bad. We can't do anything different.
Well, so that's an issue for sure. Rewriting an infinite number of files. We didn't. That's a pretty. That talk about a 10x programmer. That's an infinity x programmer right there.
That's why he's on the pod.
Began has statistically significant sized diff. Okay, that's what we're getting at here.
No, nice. I did commit 300 MP3s to that repo.
Yeah, but that should. Casey's point is right, and this is the separate thing. That should be fine. Like, we have computers that are fast. That part should be fine. So I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My big question, sort of, I do still want to just run through a few of these other questions, just because we got some good ones from the comments. But I feel like a lot of Casey, your complaint with GitHub is not necessary, or with Git.
You're right.
Sorry, I just did the
GitHub
Zoomer
is
thing.
Separate. Like, there's all kinds of extra complaints you could have about GitHub.
So completely
but that's
separate.
Not Git.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it seems to me you're not incredibly, like, opposed to an idea of, like, a directed acyclic graph of changes that we can, like, move and merge back and do other stuff like that. It's more that, like, Git should have, like, this. You type git clone or something, and it gets you a new repo, sure, right? And then you say, like, git new feature, and you can work on that thing all by yourself, and you can do anything you want. There should be, like, five commands that cover 99% of the problems, and they should never error weirdly. Like, in that world, do you think you would have used Git at your place, assuming you can, like, do big files and stuff?
I mean, it's really hard to say because it's about specifics, right? I'd have to try things. Because, like, I was very familiar with Git. Like, I've never become a Git expert. Like, I'm never... I don't even remember half the stuff. Like, I look it up. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess, right? And then, honestly, it's like, if it's anything complicated, if it's like... Because I have to maintain the GitHub, some of the GitHub stuff that I have posted publicly. That's my interaction with Git nowadays. The only time I use Git at all nowadays is if I have to deal with something like that. And, you know, honestly, if there's anything complicated, like, oops, I did this thing and I need to remove it or something like that, I just ask Martins. I don't know if anyone out here knows Martins Mosaico. He was at Rad, and he's at Epic Games now because they got, you know, Rad got acquired by them. I'm just like, Martins, help me out. And he sends some, you know, large line with hexadecimal in it, right, and all this other stuff that's going to do the thing. And I'm like, whew, I'm sure glad Martins is around, right? But again, that's also, like, I never have to do that with MySQL. If I just want to fix something, I know it's very trivial in ours because we don't have things like having to put a bunch of hexadecimal into a command line to make something happen. But that's, like, an actual thing that occurs in Git, right? So it would really matter what the specifics are. It would matter how it actually works in practice. And I'm just pretty doubtful that Git at this point would ever go in that direction anyway. So it would probably have to be some new thing. Or some really, really aggressively front-end. But sometimes that stuff doesn't work. Like, GDB front-ends never are really very good because just the underlying GDB-ness of it kind of makes it not happen. And I think that would probably happen with Git, too. So I think you kind of need something where the back-end and front-end are harmonious to really make something great, in my opinion.
Yeah. I feel like, from my side, like, I like, at least most of the time, like, that I use Git, like, compared to other options, like, I think it's good, and, like, overall, it's helpful. And I think I err more towards the side of, like, I would rather get the conflict from someone else's work, like, earlier rather than later most of the time, just because, it just ends up being a lot of the time... It is not going to take me super long to solve the problem if I get it early, but then it gets very complicated if it gets later. Like, if we happen to be changing the same file and I, like, move a function down lower in the file, and then, like, they edit the body of some other function in that, and then all of a sudden, like, it's very hard to reconcile the things. I would rather get those, like, as early as possible. So for me, I would push, like, way further towards... I would rather get that and have it interrupt my work earlier rather than later. So, like, for me, at least on the teams and the sizes that I've worked on, like, generally speaking, that would be my preference. Although it's, like, different when it's, like, me and Prime just coding one thing together. We pretty much just use it as, like, Dropbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. It's really a race to see who pushes, so that I, you know, it's like, who has the
pole?
Is.
Who's the puller?
I want to push first.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let me just do these quick, and then we got a few more here. Prime. Prime rebases because Prime is lazy, as is everyone who rebases. It gets rid of all the complicated merge history. Yeah, who would ever want to know how things became the way they are?
Oh, okay, very simple. The reason why I do rebasing is first off, it's not lazy. B, the reason why I do that is that I have a set of changes. I want to be able to test my changes on top of all known last changes. I don't want to test my changes in between things when I merge something in. I don't want to pretend like where I tested it was in fact was okay, because there's new changes now. So I have to like know that what I did was correct in that position in time. Hence the reason why I rebase. What rebase effectively does, for those that don't know, it's very, very simple. If you have a series of changes here and you checked out at some point in the past, it takes your pointer branch at this and moves it up to the head. So that means I am testing against all known latest changes checked in, and then my changes. And so when those are good, then I merge it in. It's really that simple. That's like literally the only reason why I use rebase over merge, is because I don't want to be like, hey, everything's good at this point, merge, and then now something can feel broken because I can just merge it in. It's not a big deal. Rebasing feels like I'm making a conscious decision saying my changes happened here and this is where I want things to happen.
Yeah, I always felt that merge is more of a lie than a rebase if you're doing feature branches, because like I'm testing my feature branch on something in the past and then I want to merge it into something that's not the truth anymore. So I would rather test all of my changes on what it's actually going to be merged into versus what it was when I created the branch.
Yeah, that's why I go fast
forward.
That's
what's going
only.
To be reality.
Yeah.
Beegan, you looked at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, a couple things here. Whatever Sweet Anchovy says, I agree. Prime's lazy, so I'm with that.
Okay,
number
well, that
one.
Part, all right, that's a separate issue.
Number one. But yeah. I think that there's like maybe a subtle difference here. Are we talking just a regular rebase, or are we talking about a rebase maybe with some squashing, some rewriting of some commits, some
cleaning up? I don't think it matters when it comes to your personal branch before it hits into the main branch. Like, obviously, when we say rebase, we don't mean rebasing like the main line. That's insane. No one says that stuff.
No, but I'm saying before, when you're rebasing, before you're getting into the branch, are you going to say, okay, I've worked on a feature, I've been on a branch, I want to get it merged in now, I have 30 commits and half of them say whip, 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 fixed.
Yeah, I'm fine squashing that into a single change, putting that on top, doing whatever, making sure everything is working the way I want it to work, and then merging it in. I don't think there's a big difference between many commits or one commit representing some sort of feature, just because I rarely look at the past, and if I do have to look at the past, I'm usually bisecting, so 20 changes versus one change makes virtually no difference once you're beyond, 250 commits?
So I will say, the chat immediately, the messages are, please never squash. Next comment, Dax. Yes, squash.
Yeah,
so
chat's just wrong on that because they don't – dude, this is like the classic chat is saying words that they don't understand. It's perfectly
fine for your independent
feature to be squashed into its own.
No, there's an argument for not squashing because especially for someone like you, Prime, I want to see what you went through to get to this feature.
No, you don't. No one ever.
Yes, I do. I want to know how much frustration, how many commits are unhinged. When I look
okay.
That's it's not about fun. It's about knowing what's going on inside the brain of the coder who got this in. We're trying to put information about how we got there.
But the inverse is simple.
Because Teej writes perfect commit messages on the fly.
No, I never write perfect commit messages on my branch. Yeah. I write one commit message when I'm done, or possibly two or three if the branch has two or three useful things that are distinct. Otherwise, I always write nonsense commit messages, squish it into one, and then bring it in.
Yeah. Okay, who's watching this is what I'm talking about. 100% of everything that just got said is not programming. That's the point, okay?
But I'm going to push
all of this, anything you're thinking about in your head, rebasing, merging, where are the changes, how many squashes are we going to do?
You're not coding
if you're doing that. This is why we need better version control. The fact that anyone even knows these things is a problem. It's taking up space in here that we could have used for programming.
Yep.
I'm gonna say no, because they matter, because it's how software goes from not existing to existing. So I'm not saying Git or GitHub or GitHub pull request view is good. I worked at a company that was in some ways competing with GitHub, and I was pleading desperately for months, can we make a better workflow for this that makes it super obvious and easy for people? So, like, I'm with you. GitHub workflow, it's trash. I want to review text. It doesn't show the diff, etc. But it does make a difference to say, like, there are reasons where you would want to do both, and it matters. And when you work with, like, I'm just saying, like, it's very different, I think, like, Casey, what your, like, day-to-day thing is versus, like, when I'm working at a larger company. And, like, larger companies will continue to exist at least for a while, right? So, I mean, it's like, I think it's okay to have to learn some things. I'm not saying Git is the right necessarily abstraction for all of it, but thinking about whether we want to keep individual, like, saves of your file or, like, squash it into one large thing, that's, like, a question for any system to change track, right? Don't you think?
I also
no,
want to throw out
I mean,
there, but
why would, like, if that's what you want, if you're worried about, like, what is the way in which you're going to present this information to the user later, like, this person changed their file n times. I mean, let's just free yourself from thinking about how things currently work and just imagine what did you actually want, right?
Yeah.
And the answer is, for a bunch of cases, you didn't want anything because everything just worked and no one's going to care. Then there's some cases where things went pear-shaped, right? It's like this stuff went poorly or something broke or something's weird, and now we're doing archaeology, right? So now we got to go back in there. What was this person doing? What's going on? I don't understand this change, or like everything broke and we need to like go back and deal with it, right? So there's different ways in which you might be looking at this particular thing, but the one we're talking about is where someone's going to go back and look at this history because they're trying to figure something out. Like they need some information, right? And yes. If you're just talking about how many files do you keep inside there or what do you present to them as like as the forensic evidence about what happened, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how often they saved the file isn't even that useful in that case anyway. I might just not push the save key very often, right? So what you really wanted anyway is just something that tracks all my edits as I'm editing, and I can just scrub the little bar back and forth. I can see how many times the guy compiled the thing, right? And how many times he ran it and what happened. That's what you're actually looking for, right? And the fact that, like, now we've got, like, oh, well, source code controls, this thing is just, like, any, maybe sometimes they save the file and happen to hit push or something like that. It's like, that's not even what you wanted anyway. So if what you're really looking for is forensics, okay, just let's go implement the forensics. It's not hard. We could have a thing that just tracks all the stuff in your editor, and it checks that in, and that's what we have. And if you actually need to go spelunking in it, you go. Like
I don't think that, I don't want the thing that you're saying. Deegan, what are you going
to
say?
Yeah, so a couple things. I'm good because I have to emphasize again. It's like talking about how Git could work without the human conflicting merging part of it. It just can't exist. It's like talking about the economy and saying, and everyone will act perfectly rational and logically. And based off that, we can see the numbers are going to go. It's like, no.
But we're just talking about squash here. We're literally just talking about squash. That was what
I'm saying, even like I'm saying, like squash, we're talking about like forensics. People are not, it's not just saving. We're all as humans encoding information about when we are deciding to package things up. So like typically if I might be doing 100 commits that I want to maybe squash later on, but those commits, I'm probably going to mostly have them be either if they're compilable, they're kind of working, or I'm going to put a note, hey, I'm going into uncharted territory. I'm about to break something. And if so, when you do that forensics, it will say, whip, I'm going into uncharted territory. Things might break here. And then you'll go below it and go, hey, look, I'm able to find the bug that we're looking for forensically. Like it's about the human information we encode, not just me trying to say save. We all put secret messages to future us in our commit messages, especially sometimes when we're like not thinking and just frustrated. It's just trying this. Oh, cool. There were three messages that just said trying something. Let's work backwards and say, what were they doing here? None of these, you know, it is useful information is my point.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say, no, I don't think it is. Especially because if that were true, everyone would be like, you know what? Comments and code are always right. They're always great. Like the comments are always good. Like everyone should comment all their code because it's never says like, no, comments in the GitHub repository are arbitrary. They're not checked by anything. They could be completely wrong. Right. And also, you don't know that people were actually pushing at good times, especially when you're talking about large orgs, like what you think all the developers are fantastic at deciding the exact right time to push something or save something. Of course they're not. Right. A bunch of people forget or they don't know the right thing or whatever. So you're kind of talking about an org of only great people or something.
No, I'm thinking opposite. We're talking the opposite.
Company. Of course he's thinking of an org of great people.
I'm thinking of the opposite. Humans are messy. I'm not telling everyone write perfect commit messages. I'm saying the imperfect commit messages has the information we need inside of there. You know, when Teach starts a nice repo, it's a beautiful first commit message. 6 hours later, it's trying, and you go, ooh, wow, maybe this is where things got a little bit rough. You know what I mean? I'm going after the imperfectness of developers. I think no one's going to do good. So I want to save all the information that they're spitting out into their
repo. The information you believe you got from UGG?
No, that this is a part where Tej was going off the rails.
To be clear, I'm not 100% agreeing with Began here. I just want
He does commit like that.
Hold on. Time out. T.O.
Go, Prime. Go.
Okay, so the reason why I think this approach that you're talking about, Began, is fundamentally flawed is it works probably really well in a very small organization. But once you get to a large enough organization, I think there's something fundamentally broken about the idea of committing broken code. So I want every single point to be working. I don't want to bisect and hit weird cases that don't exist, and I'm jumping further back than I need to. Maybe I'm accepting incorrect positions. I want every commit should theoretically be working, because the moment you don't have that, you break all sorts of other assumptions along with that. So this is why I squash. I squash for the fact that this squashed thing represents my ideal change set for this whatever feature bug I'm working on, and it's supposed to work. Now, it may contain bugs. True, but you can then identify that that changes it. It's the only thing that Prime's 100% correct on. Let's go.
No, not at all.
Let's go, Dax. That's a Dax opinion. That is a stamp right there.
Certified.
No, because guess what's going to happen, Prime? You're going to be doing beautiful, nice commit. The code's always going to work. Someone's going to say, "Ooh, I actually did like 5 features over 100 commits. There's a lot of messy stuff. I'm just going to put them all into one nice."
Yeah, and I say no. Jira ticket. I literally say no when I was at a bigger org. If someone comes in with 15 things,
you would
I would reject
that PR.
Yeah, break it up.
And you would tell
I don't
them
want
to
deal
what?
With your crap.
Split it up into commits.
Yeah, you have to make individual commits because I don't want your crap, because when something goes wrong, I don't want to undo 16 features if only one of them is the one, like one of them is broken. Break it up. Be smart. I'm not like Mr. Atomic commits, like you must have the most ideal, smallest change set you ever have. It's like at least come up with like a breaking point that's normal. Now, again, this completely changes when it's me and Tej on Mordoria. I'm just working, committing, working, committing. It's a smaller project. We're meant to move fast. Yeah, it's 30,000 lines of Lua, but it's still a small project, easy to move on, very different experience. So it just totally depends. That's why I'm like on Casey's team completely when it comes to what he's suggesting for a smaller team, because I'm like, oh, hell yeah. If me and Tej, if I could just keep typing and seeing TJ's changing these files and then be like, yeah, I want TJ's files. Yes, I want TJ's files. Okay, yes. Okay, keep going. Okay, TJ, I've synced up there. Oh, we just have a conflict. I'm going to keep working on mine. I don't want your conflict yet. I'm going to keep going. Like, I think that's totally cool. But a bigger one, I'm going to go with a much more stringent approach just due to the change volume.
Well, real quick, I just got to talk because it is Friday right now, and I just talked to one of our devs. He just rejected their PR. We were supposed to get that actually deployed before the weekend right now. And I was told by the dev who you just rejected their PR that you want them to just split up the files more is what you wanted.
No.
Like, you do know that our burndown charts are going to be totally
You know what
apt.
I'd do is I'd walk into their manager and say, hey, your dev's being an idiot right now. You are not going to let this keep going on our team. Either fix your dev or get a new one. The end. We're not
or
going
we're
to let
take
this shit
offline.
Happen.
Listen,
oh,
you understand.
No.
I would be pissed if someone's deploying on a Friday, putting in 15 features. I'd be like, I am not being responsible for this. This is your problem, your bomb. And if this goes wrong, I'm not even going to answer the Slack message until you fix it, because that's not me. I'm not doing this.
Okay, well, it's sad to know that you're not a team player. I heard Trash Dev was willing to actually do these commits on a weekend.
His name's
and
Trash.
And so maybe I'm
going
to go talk to him now.
Yes.
You got to be the
thing
you want.
The promotion again.
Okay,
Trash Dev gets the promotion again.
Can So the thing that I feel like is there's like the disconnect where I'm seeing is like I think, and it's part of what like we're all kind of saying, but it's maybe a little different. It's like there are some things that it is important for the developer to take time to think about and to do their own input into the system that can't just be from, this is what I'm saying, like it can't just be they saved the file 100 times or they ran a bunch of stuff. Like they need to encode some additional information into the system because that is going to allow us to either debug something later in the future. It's going to allow me to like look at a big chunk of code together in a year from now and wonder how did this line get here. I can see that these changes were grouped with this particular logical thing. Maybe at some point we can get AI to solve all of that for us or whatever. I know Began's ready for that to happen. Mm-hmm. But like that is additional information that doesn't come from the physical like typing into the keyboard and running the code. And so in that world where I'm saying like it's valuable to have that and it's going to require some input, you will, at least in my mind, invariably have an argument between some people who are like vegan saying, I want to see the Uggs in this thing, and Prime saying, don't show me the Ugg. Write a good commit message with information and logically group these together. Possibly a version control thing could allow both of those.
I was just going to ask that question. Like, can't we just have it so that the roll-up includes the, drill down if you want? That seems pretty straightforward. Does Git not allow that?
But no, then there's no in soft that world, commit versus hard commit or whatever you're trying. I don't know what word to use. But
okay.
In that world, the developer is still having to think about it, and they will still have a disagreement or perhaps something that they need to learn about how to do that. It won't be able to be inherent to everyone, and it will be very different at small companies versus big companies, right? Yeah.
Maybe. And so I don't know if I really believe this. If for some reason someone showed up and was like, we're gonna give you $100 million of investment money to go build a source code control thing that just works for everyone.
Oh, then I believe
everyone,
we can do it. Because I'm good. The money.
Then okay, I bet we could build this thing that works that's the 99% case, and most people will just use it, and the only super hardcore, really tweaky stuff will ever be done with Git after that. I have no doubt that you could actually make the thing that just works. And granted, it has to tie in pretty hard to the way that things work. So, you're talking about it it's a pretty big project, I think. But I don't think it is. I don't think this is an inherently difficult or inherently impossible is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Problem. I think it's just especially because the things that people actually want to do, they know when they want to do them. And they don't really need to be taught. It's when I want to give my changes to someone else, I know that that's happening in my head. And I'm now is the time when I give my changes to someone else. So all the source code really should be doing is mirroring this. It's every time someone thinks they want to do something, they just push the button and it does that thing. Instead of what it is currently, which is when someone thinks they want to do something, they now have to translate that into what are the series of Gitnesses that are going to make that happen. And maybe that's I'm going to squash some things and then I'm going to push it, or I'm going to pull something first and then I'm going to rebase and then I'm going to do this thing. It's no, I just push the button that's it's time to give my changes and it does the right thing, right? And so I do think that's actually a solvable problem. Maybe call me an optimist in this one case, right? But I just don't feel it's as hard as it's being made.
Damn optimists.
I think one of the, we'll make one, I'll never stop just fighting.
Yeah, we'll just
keep
making one more point. There's 30 minutes left in the video.
Git Stan, you're the Git Stan. Can we change it to Git Stan?
Be Git Bot.
So I think there's a law out there. We can pick who to name it after. I don't know. Trash is in here, so it might end up being Trash's law.
Okay, Trash's law.
The level of Git at your organization lowers to the level of the worst person. It's not one person pulling it up.
Why isn't that Began's law?
That's true for everything.
Why isn't that Began's law?
I'm good.
That's not just Git. That's everything.
That's the educational system right there.
And that's the problem with Git, though, is that one person can mess it up for everyone, and then it's you end up putting all these things in place to handle the one person messing it up.
So it's just, this is all for Dave. We had to do all of this for Dave. Everyone else was fine, but Dave showed up.
So hold on, Casey, what do you think about commit hooks then? Given Began's law, commit hooks are effectively, I want to prevent...
Not Began's law.
Began's law.
It's Began's law. It's Began's law.
Began, you can still be smarter than everybody else. It's your observation, so you're the smart one. You can see the whole
cool.
elephant.
He's the one that keeps experiencing it. Yeah. That's why it's called Began's law.
Right. Yeah, that's what we're going to tell him now, anyway, as we try to brand it Began's law.
Hooks in general, the ability to prevent someone from even committing based on some state of your repo. Because there's pre-commit hooks that are sorry, you're not even allowed to commit. You have lint. Right, and then there's you are not even allowed to push because you have these things failing.
I mean, I understand what people were trying to do with those things. I think if you needed them, then you're probably trying to paper over some problem that you have, you've hired some pretty bad people or you don't have a good training pipeline for those people. And so... I get why you would do something like that, but my sense would be that if you're actually relying on those things, you have a deeper problem, and those things aren't really going to solve that problem, right? They're just going to kind of make the problem almost worse because it's like now it's less obvious that you have the problem, but it's still going on, right? Underneath that you know, there's the iceberg is still under the waterline, right? So I don't know. I don't want to say anything too strongly because, like I said, don't use Git, wouldn't use Git. But it sounds like if you were using Git and you thought that that was a good idea, that may be.
Every time I go into an org and there's any sort of commit hooks of any kind or these Git hooks, you know that scene in Hot Rod where Rod is sitting down and his dad comes in and like tries to insult him a little bit and he goes, cooler heads are prevailing. And then his dad says like one more thing and he gets up and goes, you're the devil! And then like walks out and breaks the door. That's pretty much me every single time. Like, oh yeah, Git hooks, I could handle this. Do one single thing wrong, and I'm just like, you're the devil! And I delete him immediately and never respect him again. I hate him. I can't even handle it at all.
Like I said, I totally understand that. I also understand probably what people thought they were doing when they put them in, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but a commit hook doesn't have to be... Like, a commit hook could be doing something beneficial, too. Like, I'm going to go build this thing or something, right? It doesn't have to be bad. Can it only be bad?
Only bad.
It's only bad. It's literally, sorry, you didn't type check. You're not allowed to commit.
It's only ever for preventing a commit. It can't just if you were triggering something off a commit, that's called something else.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can trigger. I've never thought about anything that like triggers like say formatting off a commit and then
could it never be something beneficial underneath. Yeah, it can't be beneficial. It could definitely not be beneficial, or
it can be. You can do stuff like that.
Like for example, in RVCS, right? What we have is thing where when you check something in, it does like. You know, keyword replacement and some things, put stamps the date on things, like stuff like that. You can't do something like that, or
can it can do that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that's you know, I mean, that's not bad. So there's a not horrible commit hook out there, maybe somewhere.
No, it's in the EULA. They use the end user license agreement has stated that it can only be used for evil.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I understand.
I think the idea is like, at what point does the code become shared by other people? If we don't think that like a GitHub branch is that, because I don't like a commit hook that's going to prevent me from being able to push to my own branch. It's like, format, I'm getting wild. I'm coding and I want it on GitHub. You can look at it. Why do I have to go and conform to your standards of prettier while I'm getting wild?
Yeah,
shut up, Dad.
Yeah. That's what CI literally is.
I can put JavaScript semicolons or not. Shut up, Dad.
Now, obviously, CI or
I hate you. Slams the door.
Yeah.
My own styles. Seven spaces.
Yeah. Seven spaces. Fibonacci tabs.
Seven space tabs.
Yeah.
Make it happen, people.
But you know what I'm saying? Like it's really like when I only want to be prevented if it's going to get bad into a shared area. And I do not think that a pull request is a shared area.
Yet. The only thing would be if you had something that could check for secrets getting accidentally committed, that would be good. Because I've had it happen at a company before where we had open source repos. Someone made a branch, they pushed. The end file never made it to production, but it did make it to an open Git repo.
Yes.
Whoopsie poopsie. Now hacker found our env key. So there are a few things where I'd be like, okay, I could be convinced. I could be convinced by that. Don't let me commit this. But yes.
No, I think better operational practices with you should be rotating all of your API keys on a regular basis. And so just having this be part of your operational regular workflow, like I think honestly you should be leaking API keys like once a week to just make sure the
keep
rotation
everyone on
work
their toes.
Well.
It's like phishing attacks.
It's like chaos like, calm.
Have you ever heard of when I was at Netflix, we had something called Chaos Monkey.
Chaos Monkey. That's exactly what I say. Yeah. It's chaos API
same
keys.
When I was at Netflix too. Same thing.
We're just dropping our API keys regularly.
Chaos. I just made this one service.
Does anyone
on
this podcast besides me not work for Netflix at some point? Is this just this is the Netflix podcast and Casey?
Yeah. Well, like when I made this thing called Falcor, it was literally just to stress test our servers. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't for making features. Okay. So
that is pretty painful.
We're not talking about jobs this episode, but I will give one piece of job advice that I recently learned for anyone out there. Did you know that no one can stop you from adding anything to your Twitter bio? You can say I worked at Netflix and went to Harvard. But no one checks it.
The amount of people getting reached out.
It saved fine. So just a little job advice for everyone out there.
The amount of people I see posting pictures of being like, wow, congrats on being CEO of HTMX from like a recruiter.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
Yes. And they reach out to Carson Gross and they're like, is this guy CEO of HTMX? And he's like, yes. Anyways,
he's the entire C-suite, in fact.
All right. We got time for one more, right, TJ?
Yeah, this one is the one. This is one more that I wanted to give a shout out to Sphere. You know, he gets a little bit of flack from us sometimes online, but we'll give one shout out to Sphere here. Casey is directionally correct, yet also defends a worse alternative. Nice. So I don't know what that means, but we'll consider it a backhanded compliment. Who knows? Also dislike it even beyond the obtuse Cly. So the thing for this, sorry for blinding everybody, but I'm only a quarter of the screen. This one I feel like encapsulates very well a lot of the things that Casey hates about Git, where in the sense like you can Git pull and then there will just be things merged in, but they're broken. And it's like, why did you let me do that? And said, there's no problem. Then, you know, it's like, how do I check out a different branch? Check out. How do I create a new branch? Check out. How do I update components? Check out. What's the nature of Git? It's, you know, history is immutable. Oh, okay, splendid. So it's like we merged these two things together, and then it's like, so these things never happened in the same time. History is ephemeral. So like Git sets you up with this idea that it has a real history and then it just lies to you, right? Or like the Git tag, that lists all the tags. Git remote dash V lists all the remotes. Git branch dash A does the branches. And you're like, can we not agree on like how to list all of something, right? Like all these different
branch
problems.
Branch dash A also list all your remote branches as well. And
yeah. So this, I feel like this is where I feel a lot of, you know, overlap with Casey in the sense that like Git has a lot of arcane knowledge, and there do exist a subset of people who are happy to know arcane knowledge, just to know arcane knowledge and hold that over people and be like, you have to learn this. But I still feel like some of it, you have to make a decision sometime. And so you are going to have an argument. Like, Prime, people were just having an argument before this. Since we posted this tweet, they're like, just getting ready for the, you know, the squash versus rebase versus merge commit arguments. Because I believe, and then they state a philosophical difference. Not a difference in the implementation of Git, truly. But instead a philosophical difference about how the history of a project should be represented. And that's where I feel like there can't be a tool that can fix that because people disagree. You have to have at least two. And your company can use different ones. You know what I'm saying? So anyways.
Agreed.
There you go.
All right.
That's it. Thanks for the comments, everybody.
I do agree I mean, the thing is I think we all recognize that much like democracy or capitalism, that it's a very terrible thing, but it's just better than all the alternatives currently that I know about. Until I see a better alternative, I will accept it. Right.
The, so that's quote is like, it's the worst system except for all the others.
When Churchill or ever said it's the worst system.
Somebody said this
except for
sure.
all the others.
I remember this quote vaguely.
Yeah.
Also, I will say for future episodes, I do not believe we should keep all of our commit history at all. I am 100% on the side of squashing everything, heads up. But if anyone does want me to represent an opinion in a tweet, you can just DM me, and then when I'm on, I will be your opinion. So just tell me ahead of time. But guys, you do not want 50 messages that say ugh in your repo. That's crazy. Okay?
No, it's too late, Bigot. No one's watched till this point,
Bigot,
so they don't even know.
Josh,
you're the
cut
ugh
this
guy.
Section out. Yeah. We're never going to let people hear
this is for the live viewers.
Opinions.
Anyone who's watching live, I will tweet anything unhinged, and I will be you on the podcast until they kick me off again.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thanks, Beegan. Thanks, Casey. Thanks, Prime. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode talking about Git and our wishes and desires for what version control could be. Maybe we'll check out Jujitsu or one of these other ones, and we'll come back with some better opinions later. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Boot up the day. Vibe coding errors on my screen. Terminal coffee in hand. Living.